Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Radio Orbit. My guest tonight is Dr. Rustam Roy. He is, among other things, Evan Pugh Professor of Solid State Emeritus, Professor of Geochemistry Emeritus, Professor of Science, Technology, and Society Emeritus at the Penn State University in Pennsylvania. He is a remarkable person doing amazing work in a number of areas in which I have interest, and we've got the pleasure and the privilege of talking with Dr. Roy about some of those things right now. So, first of all, thank you, Dr. Roy. Hello, and welcome. Welcome to the program. Dr. Roy, just for a quick little bit of framework, if you would, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background with regard to the sciences that you're working in? I'm sure people want to know a little bit about where you come from.
Well, maybe they will and maybe they won't. Well, I'm a material scientist with a background, a PhD in chemistry 60 years ago. And by and large, I would say my fields are looking at the effects of now, radiation, both acoustic radiation and electromagnetic radiation, mm-hmm. on solids and liquids. On the solid side, we've worked for many years. We're the biggest lab in the world on the effects of microwave radiation on matter, on condensed matter, that means solids and liquids.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, we've focused our work on the most important substance in the world, which we have all neglected for years and years, that is water.
Yeah. I have on my list here, one of the things that I was going to tell people is that there are a number of different topics that I'd like to talk to you about, but they all have sort of a common denominator. They all have to do with water.
Well, that's our recent work, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's first talk about water then and what it is and why it's so special.
Well, first, let's do some facts, right? Water is the most abundant single material in the world,
mm-hmm.
whether it is the ice caps as solid ice or B as liquid, principally in the seas, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing compares within 100 times of the amount of water that's on the surface of the earth. Second point is that it is uniquely connected to living matter. When we go to Mars, we look for water. When we went to the moon, the first thing I got, some of the first samples from NASA on looking for water. Why water? So the connection of water to life and to living matter is profoundly important.
Mm-hmm.
So here is an amazingly important material to chemists, physicists, and in fact, it might be even of interest to the National Institutes of Health. It always amuses me that the NIH has got not a single person that knows anything about water.
Amazing.
No institute, no branch, no expert on the single material that is essential to all living systems.
Remarkable.
So that shows how science has gone astray. We in the scientific world know more and more about less and less till we know everything about nothing. That's what Einstein used to say. So we focus too narrowly. So we've missed water. It's a great substance. It's very important. And I certainly confess to have ignored water for a long time.
Well, you haven't been ignoring it of late because I've read a number of the papers that you've written and had published with regard to that particular substance. So could you...
Yeah, in the last 7 years, that's not true.
Amazing stuff, actually, and I want to thank you on the air. I appreciate the work. I think it's very important what you're doing. Structure of water. People and scientists, I think, in general, have assumed that water is just water. But I actually heard a wonderful recorded piece of material that I found on YouTube. The internet is amazing. But it was you speaking to a crowd, and I'm not even sure exactly where. But you talked about the structure of water. And
mm-hmm.
how you use carbon as an example and said, well,
yes,
you know,
yes, yes,
there are many
yes.
different kinds of carbon and they take different structures, so why wouldn't water be similar? Could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I don't know which YouTube you saw, but that may have been at the University of Connecticut where mm-hmm. there was a debate about
homeopathy. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
That's the one.
Okay.
And there the Professor Novella from Yale started out with a pretty traditional view that says, hey, folks, water is just water. So I got up and said, you're wrong. I know you're a medical doctor, not a chemist, but you've got all that backwards. Actually, water is very, very different because we can have all kinds of waters. It is not just water. What do I mean by that?
Yes.
By that, I mean that the leading physicist in the world on the physics of water is Professor Eugene Stanley at Boston University, the leading chemist of the world on the structure of water, is not what the average person thinks. It is Professor Martin Chaplin in London. He has 6 million hits on his website on the structure of water. And what do these, and we are probably the leading people in the material science.
Right.
We are latecomers. But the material scientist has one thing to bring to the table, and that tells you that don't neglect the structure. It is not how pure your water is, but what structure it has. And I gave this example, which catches on with every person who's listening. You have a lead pencil and you write it. Of course, it's not lead, it is graphite.
Right, carbon.
The thing you write, it's so soft, it leaves a trace. Most people don't know that we in our lab can take that graphite and in a microsecond, with a little exposure to radiation, we can make it into diamond. Now, wait a minute. The hardest substance in the world is diamond. The softest in the world is graphite. You can make graphite into a diamond without adding anything, touching it, doing anything to it, just by radiating it. You can take the diamond and radiate that with a different radiation, and you can make it into graphite.
It's alchemy.
That is alchemy. The message is structure is the most important property of any liquid or solid, not its composition.
Amazing. Now, by structure, you're talking about the molecular structure. In other words,
It's a little. It includes the molecular structure, but it's the architecture. It's like, say, if you went and said, "What's the structure of this building?" And somebody said, "Oh, it's made up of bricks and concrete." That doesn't tell you the structure of the building.
Right.
So the molecules are like the
bricks
or the cement blocks, but they're not the architecture. Where's your bathroom? Where's your living room?
Right.
That's the architecture. That's what material scientists mean by structure, how the molecules are aggregated. And the difference between graphite and diamond is exactly that, how they're put together.
And so by different methods of radiation, you can essentially convince the molecules to assemble themselves differently?
We chew the bejabbers out of them. We really destroy them and reconstitute them into a new structure.
Remarkable. Okay, so back to water.
So the first thing we want to convey is this ain't any hocus pocus.
Right.
The hardest of hard sciences.
Okay. All right. So we have water. Most people are familiar with water in three forms, liquid, gas, and a solid. But within those, there are different structures, I'm guessing.
Not within the gas, as far as we know.
Okay.
But definitely within the liquids and solids. We knew that about ice, that we had 10 or 11, and most people don't know about that. But yes, people accept that. But in the liquid phase, that we could have different liquid phases was not accepted by most scientists because they don't read the literature. They keep imagining what they know is to be true because they were taught that in high school.
Right.
But actually, for 30 years, my lab has been publishing papers with different liquids, not water. We mentioned water, but we did all kinds of liquids and showed that they can have different structures. Guess what? And nobody challenged it. It's published in Nature and Science and so on, the leading journals. So it was not under question. But people had just neglected that fact that even liquids can have different structures.
Well, you know, it goes back to what you and I spoke about off the air. One of the crises in science is this specialization where people don't know what's happening in other fields.
Hell no, we got so much to read, we don't have time to read anything. We know more and more about less and less. Pathetic.
And just to keep up in one particular field, you got to be reading the journals every day or something.
No, you don't have to be. That's one of the mistakes. We keep letting people off the hook, the scientists off the hook. The only reason they do that is to get money out of the government agencies, because there they are forced, they're prostituted. They're what my colleague Professor Ivan Illich used to call wage slaves.
Wage
professors
slaves
are hooked into the the money-giving apparatus in Washington, which says, thou shalt look into a narrow field and don't poke your head out, very bad thing for science.
I agree fully. You know, there was this old term, the German Johann Goethe comes to mind, but they used to call him a polymath, you know?
Yes.
And we have very few polymaths these days,
I think. Well, it isn't. It is an educated person in German. There's another word called ein gebildeter Mann.
Ein gebildeter Mann, ja.
Jawohl. So
jawohl, ich kann auch Deutsch.
Ja, in fact, a person who sees, ein gebildeter Mann is a person who sees things large, which are large, and small, which are small. That knows the details from the big picture. And today we have lost that. A chemistry, my postdocs had come, they've lost the big picture. And it's my fault. It's our teaching profession's fault. We have given into the idea of specialization. We have given into the idea of disciplinarity. If you go to my website, rustomroy.com, you'll see that I have championed interdisciplinarity for 40 years.
Yes, that's one of
this
the reasons.
This idea of departments, these silos of knowledge. Everybody knows it's ludicrous. Nobody defends them. We try to do something about it. We had a little success, but the academic world can beat them all. Mm. And you know who had the idea of the danger of this? Only one politician. No, 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 this isn't Barack Obama. It isn't Hillary Clinton. It isn't John McCain. It's Dwight David
Eisenhower.
His valedictory statement, leaving the office.
That's right.
17th of January, 1961. Anybody can look it up on Google, and you can see what he said, not about the military-industrial complex. That everybody knows. But here was a president of the United States talking about the danger from academia and the scientific community. They're too specialized. They bamboozle the legislators. We've been doing that for years.
Mm.
They don't understand what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah.
But so they give us money. And it's ludicrous what's been going on. There was a time when America was the leading technological country, and they did it without any public funding. I was the first postdoc on the first contract ever given to Penn State in 1948. So before that, we did a lot of good research, folks.
Right, right.
You didn't need that system.
Well, I can't believe that you mentioned President Eisenhower. I actually have the MP3 of that speech up on my website because I think it's so important, and I try to point people to it.
That's amazing that you do that. That's amazing.
Yeah, 1961. His
61, January 17.
Yeah, when he was leaving office, and that was a remarkable speech.
I've got it posted on my wall here.
Well, you know, and even though we're a little bit off topic, I think about the kind of man that was speaking back then, and then I listened to that next to what I hear today, and I'm just sickened by it, you know?
Yeah, we're all sickened. Here was a man, general of the army, president of the United States. What more do you want?
Right,
that experience saying this, and nobody has paid. I've testified before Congress several dozen times, and I keep saying, I always refer to this speech, don't be bamboozled.
Remarkable. Okay, structured water. So we understand that water can be assembled molecularly and otherwise
into different structures. About several dozen of them.
Okay. Now, the uniqueness of the structures, what does it allow water to do?
The unique one that got the real YouTube attention was the one because a man in Erie, Pennsylvania, Mr. John Canzius.
John Canzius, sure.
Learned by sheer accident that you could burn water. Now, what happened thereupon is an interesting sociological commentary. The whole world, all the interested people, 2-3 million hits on YouTube, they watched it, right?
I was one of them.
Yep, and the commentators, she made some comments, oh, maybe we won't have to go and get oil and all that. That was exaggeration, of course, but Canzius didn't claim that. And he showed that you could burn water and actually drive a Stirling engine, which is reasonable. Not that it was more efficient, not that he was making something out of nothing, none of that stuff. But the fact was so astounding that 99.99% of scientists said, this guy's a kook.
Right, they just discount it right out of hand.
Discounted it right out of hand. That's the right terminology. And that shows a religious fanaticism.
Again, a very
no other term. I can imagine nothing. This is like blaspheming the prophet or something. how come you can say that water burns? What is the proper reaction? Check the facts.
Right.
The scientist is committed to facts,
right,
not to theory.
Right, and follow them wherever they may lead.
Any scientist that says, no, 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 my theory tells me it can't happen, should be immediately disbarred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He should say, hey, that sounds highly unlikely. Somebody should check it out.
Right, right, that's the way.
That's the proper attitude,
mm-hmm,
and I will not discount it. It looks pretty real, and there's something funny. Maybe he made a mistake, but we check it out.
We'll check it out. Well, that's what you did, right?
That's all I did. My contribution is zero. I just went up there, and I checked the guy out, and he said, hey, it's for real, man. He brought it down to Penn State. We did it in our lab with our equipment, our staff, everything else, and it works.
Well,
so now that is one big surprise to the whole community, and therefore it should be taken very seriously that there are big surprises coming up.
Yeah, well, I thought that was remarkable, and I'd like to point everyone to your website once again, Rustum Roy, R-U-S-T-U-M-R-O-Y, rustumroy.com. You can have access to all of these papers that we're referencing right now. There is this one about the confirmation of the burning of water is a very recently published paper, only a couple months ago.
Yeah, it was published a month ago in a major scientific journal.
Right, Materials Research Innovations, Volume 12. Anyway, wonderful work and very, very interesting. Now, of course, people are going to say, well, what are the implications of this with, on the energy scene?
On the energy scene, there is a huge interest from people all over the world. That is also interesting. We have had two heads of major agencies in my lab in the last month.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Department of Energy and the Air Force. And I said, by the way, how come the Department of Energy showed no interest? They said, well, people know where to come. I said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, shouldn't you know where to go? I'll tell you the difference. I'll say the people from Kuwait, from Dubai, from Indonesia, from another neighbor like Canada, the Prime Minister's office called, the Health Minister made a visit. How come nobody in Washington, it turned out one of them didn't never even heard about it, never had a YouTube.
Remarkable.
Remarkable. So that we are saying that somehow private investors are putting, talking about millions of dollars of R&D getting started right away, blah, 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 etc. And private people are the biggest companies in the world and have taken the trouble to come to Erie, Pennsylvania, check it out, assure themselves and say, hey, look, we want to invest in this and so on.
Mm-hmm.
The government of the United States, now I think every person listening should write to their congressperson and say, how come we've got such a dull agencies that they don't pursue opportunities? Because they think we are prostitutes and we should run. Mr. Kanzius is a private businessman. He doesn't need the federal government's little two-bit money. So, therefore, the federal government should show no interest? What a strange situation we've come to.
It is so strange. I mean, it is so strange. And you can make the same statement in a number of different areas of endeavor.
Well, you can certainly make it in the health area, which is my interest.
Well, that's
the structuring of water.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Certainly, I want to talk about your work with silver.
That's part of it.
Okay, well, let's close off on the burning water thing quickly,
right,
and then we'll move into healthcare a little bit. The
right.
And I'd like to make it clear. I think it's important that people that I've seen sort of poo-pooing the Kanzius work and your work have been like, well, it's not free energy or this. And I think, well, petroleum's $120 a barrel today. That's not free energy either. And that's not being claimed.
Of course, nobody is being claiming that. And I think that it's way too early. We're not going to make the great mistake that we made on corn and ethanol. That's the kind of stuff. We will never make bogus claims about what is the balance of energy and the environment. Remember that this has a beautiful environmental stamp, which is nearly zero.
Maybe
the energy will cause. We don't know what that is. Let them wait a year or two. And when people, I've got about 100,000 emails.
I
say, yeah, for $1 million in 1 year, I can answer your question, not less.
Right. Now,
let's put that off. That's a long time coming.
The last thing, though, you run an RF wave through it, right?
Correct.
And is can you give us a rough idea about the input in, input out?
Well, what we see from the machine is not me. It's Mr. Kanjesh's machine. It runs at about 250 watts, and you get a pretty nice, strong flame, and salt is a part of it, but it has nothing to do with salt.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anything will do it. So you can burn water. It dissociates into hydrogen and oxygen.
And
hydrogen and oxygen burn. Get it? What the hell is so difficult?
Yeah,
it's in
simple,
rocket science.
Simple. Any nasty side products?
Zero. Water.
Okay.
It comes out, it burns, it becomes water. How's that?
Remarkable. Okay. All right. Let's talk about health and what...
Well, what this means for health is much more profound.
Okay.
It is certain. Because it means that what is being sold all over the world, especially by the Russian scientists of extreme competence, that is that you can structure water with electromagnetic fields and with acoustic fields. It's not new.
Okay.
So, in fact, though, that these new waters can have good health effects.
Mm-hmm.
So, my reaction is this. We ought to look into it. Because now we know that electromagnetic radiation can certainly cause changes.
Right.
Are these waters, first we know they can be changed, how stable are they? How long do they last at room temperature?
Right,
how can you put them on the shelf?
That's
a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the answer to that because each one will be different. You know, if you give it a big zap, maybe it'll stay. If you give it a small zap, it may not. So we need to know that.
Okay.
Second question is, what are they good for? Now, it looks to me from empirical evidence, I'm an empirical chemist, I just believe in facts.
Mm.
Does it work? If it works, then it'll be very interesting. And we say, for what? Now, the important thing about water is there is no biology without, you don't have a gene. Let me tell you, all your genes are nothing. It's the gene surrounded by water. Imagine now that they keep talking about genes, right?
Right.
Hey, folks, there are no genes which aren't supported by water.
Mm-hmm.
If I can change that column of water, what do I do to the gene?
What do you do to the gene, right? We know that they're affected environmentally.
Every protein,
every
enzyme. So you know the ubiquitous, I'll use the accurate word, ubiquitous nature of water in all human health.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? So that means if I can control water, I could have a profound effect on human health. Moreover, it can go everywhere in the body and not do all the harm or all the blooming terrible reactions to, you know, whether it's a trifecta stuff for AIDS or whether it is a stuff for cancer treatments and so on, the terrible consequences of those.
Right.
Water would be much less intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
So the profound importance of the possibility, and it's no more than that, possibility of controlling water to bring about many of the curing effects that we can foresee.
Wow. All right. How did you get interested in silver, and how is it related
now,
to structured water?
The reason I got into the silver colloid, I actually am the author of the Sol Gel process. I discovered that in 1948, actually, 60 years ago.
Amazing how much of this stuff goes way back, you know, so much of the
current
work.
Well, that is the way to make nanoparticles. The Sol Gel process, my process, now 60 years old, was ignored by my colleagues for 20 years. Then they suddenly rediscovered it. And then 20 years later, again, they gave it a name called nanoparticles.
Mm.
So now nanoparticles are good. But the Sol Gel process makes, listen to my statement, more nanoparticles than all the other processes in the world put together. Not that they're useful. Most of the nanoparticles are not useful. Nor are these, not all of them. So, but it is a process for making nanoparticles of almost many, many compositions.
Okay.
So that led me to be interested in sols. What is a sol? A sol is a suspension of tiny solid particles in liquids.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, a sol means a little bit of dirt flying around in the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, all natural waters are sols. Every natural water, a natural stream, right?
Yes.
Has little particles of quartz and albite and blah, 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 and so on, the usual like clay minerals and so on. Now, those minerals, now we know, must structure the water. The one that we found out first, how good it was in silver salts.
I see.
Little particles of metallic silver.
Mm.
They have to be metallic silver. Floating in pure water. What I ran into in the early 2001, 2002 was this, these are commercial things, and various companies worked with us. We said, holy cow, these things kill bugs. They kill bugs as well as any antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
They even kill viruses. Now they're looking very good on malaria and even possibly AIDS.
Yes.
Viruses, bacteria, wait a minute. How can one, listen to what I'm saying, one part per million of silver metallic particles in water have that much profound effect? You don't need to have any clinical tests. You can do it in a petri dish. So all the poor old skeptics, they are now running for cover, because any skeptic can take this 1 ppm silver sol, put it in a petri dish, and watch the bugs die.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we did get interested in ultra-pure water. These are called ultra-dilute sols.
Right.
1 ppm and below.
Okay.
Not too bad, right?
Amazing.
So, actually, the particle concentration is well below nano. It's near pico. So we have really, really dilute salts.
And this, and the dilution is directly related to the idea of homeopathy, correct?
It is close to the idea of homeopathy. We have no brief for homeopathy specifically,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know anything about the clinical stuff. But we now can say profoundly that homeopathy cannot be discounted by the homeophobia. There's homeophobia.
Homeophobia, that's great.
Among the scientific community. If they hear the word, they go bonkers. You know, just like a lot of people in the country, if you have homophobia, we also have homeophobia among scientists.
That's very funny.
It isn't funny. It's unfortunate. It is a disease.
Well, I agree. I think it's a funny term.
They don't look. It is a funny term, but there it is. That homeophobia is doesn't help, because in fact, we now know that at those dilutions, with either the succussing or the epitaxy, and so on, the shaking and getting little bubbles, and so we don't know why, but maybe there can be a difference. The argument against homeopathy, we have destroyed once and for all.
Right.
The argument was water can't be different.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye, so we say.
So much for that argument, yes.
So much for that one.
Okay, nanoparticles, for example, nanoparticulate silver. Why do nanoparticles act differently? I know that their properties change when you get that small.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that yet. And what particles do it only?
Mm.
We know that silver does it. We know copper does it.
Mm-hmm.
We know, and I'm sure that one of the things we are doing is looking at the effects of different nanoparticles.
Okay.
We are not asleep.
Well, I think the work is remarkable. Do you have a what's your team like that's working on this stuff?
Very small. We have a couple of good postdocs, brilliant young women, and so on. And I've got one physics PhD and one chemistry PhD. And you know, nobody's dumping millions of bucks and millions of bucks is a very bad thing. We hope we'll get some support, but we've been funded only by a very tiny not-for-profit. Absolutely friends of health,
mm-hmm.
and so that's the only group that funds us. We can use some more money, but no, we're not going to be scrounging so that we become dependent on a system. We have a lot of collaboration from the leading people of the world, and so by working together and so on, we'll be able to, I'm sure, expand the role of structured water, not only in health, but also in chemistry and material science.
Well, I think it's remarkable, and it's relatively straightforward, so I imagine that there are lots of people that are starting to work on these things themselves.
No, we hope not. We hope to believe that water is just water. Don't tell him anything. I hope your radio goes silent.
Oh.
We don't care about informing those skeptics should stay skeptical. We love them. I love the people who say it's all nonsense. I love them because it gives me another year or two.
Well, I'd like to see it happen post-haste. And
right.
I think that the energy potential is there and very interesting. And the health potential is just remarkable.
It's much, much better.
I've had interest in silver in particular for quite some time. And I actually interviewed this guy Dr. Gordon Pedersen, who's the guy who's the science officer over at American Biotech Labs.
Yeah.
And he's an interesting fellow.
Well, they turn out a very good product, and I think that that's one of them. And we certainly have done a lot of work on their product, and mm-hmm. it looks real. But it's the principle that's important, that silver colloids are working. And the interesting thing was Pharma's big attack through Oprah's The Man with the Blue Face.
Oh, the blue guy, yeah.
And
yeah,
they thought this would be a great device. Mm. Actually, he became famous. Mm-hmm. He loves his silver.
Mm-hmm.
It was a home brew. He didn't make it from any ABL labs or something. He made it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And he drank a glass a day and so on. And he said, what the hell? The girls are coming to me. I'm on Oprah Winfrey's show. So who wants to change my color?
Oh, boy. Well,
I'm glad Orbit Radio is getting the word out.
Well, we're doing our best, and I thank you very much for the work
that
you're doing.
Thank you very much.
I think it's wonderful, and I'll let people know about your websites and share your papers with everyone who'd like to see them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Roy. Take care of yourself.